It's a Sunday morning, 6:28:20, the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title is Only Imagine. First scripture is Isaiah chapter 11. I gave Jackie a heads up, so she's already there. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. It shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. So to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. He shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, shall smite it in the seven streams and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway from the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. So the Lord's talking about when he comes to reign, when the 1,000-year reign of peace. Imagine how it's going to be, Satan completely out of the picture. Completely out. All right, look at Revelation 20. No devil. Not that pressure, not that pain, not that everything bad. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he might be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The Lord just quickened something to me. Most of the ones that do the adrenochrome and the child sacrifice, they have markings all in their hands. They have cuts. They have to cut themselves a certain way and bleed. And so that gave new meaning to me. The mark. They have marks in their hands. In fact, they can tell there was a woman, she was doing a YouTube video. I never did listen to it, but it said basically that she can tell by looking at their hands if they're a pedophile. Because they're into satanic worship. To be part of this, you're in satanic worship. So they cut. They do all these cuttings on their hands. You can see, was it Tony Podesta?
Yes.
Or is it John, the little one?
John.
John.
Yeah.
They showed his hands, and you could see all those scars. Mm-hmm. All right. Their foreheads are in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So somebody, there's some Elijahs around, because they called fire down from out of heaven and consumed the insurrection. That won't be what's happened to our culture, where it's gone on for thousands of years and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse till we're to Noah's day. First sign of conflict, call fire down from heaven. Faith people, that's what's going to be on this earth for 1,000 years. Faith people. People that speak, and it's so. All right. What did Satan's influence do to the people of the earth? John 10:10. He killing, stealing, destroying. In the 1,000-year reign in God's world, the word will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There's the difference. You got a culture that the whole culture is saturated in God's word, speaking God's word. God's going to finally get his 1,000 years of rest on the earth. That's what this is about. We're completing the Genesis cycle. The complete week. We're finishing the week out. But we will do it with ruling and reigning. And there'll be no inhibitions, because there is no devil to come and steal the word. And the water's going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So if everybody's thinking like God, acting like God, it's heaven on earth, right? Just naturally speaking, how awesome is this time going to be? God made man to never die, but to live forever. The influence that changed all of that is now in the pit. Jesus has redeemed us. All right, Galatians 3. I hope I got all of this, because sometimes when the Lord starts giving me something, I don't know how to put it in words. So this is the closest I could get. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we're no longer under the curse. See, what happened in the garden caused man to fall and then caused man to die. But in Christ Jesus, we've been redeemed back to the pre-fall state. So, you know, could be. We'll be the ones that don't taste death. Now, the second death has no bite. All our lives, all the pain and suffering, anxiety and unrest no longer here. Only imagine how it will be. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and what?
Death.
What does this really mean? Free from the law of sin and death. What does it mean? Well, we won't sin anymore. And it sounds like we won't die either. And pray about it. We are at the end of the church age, which has been going on for 2,000 years, and we are transitioning into the kingdom age where nothing will kill, steal, or destroy. We just read it in Isaiah. Nothing will harm or hurt in all my holy mountain. Only imagine, no more wars, no more bad days, no more sickness. The list could go on and on. Soon the days of imagining will be over and you will be in the kingdom age. You will live this way every day. As bad as it seems some days, you won't never have another day like that. The time has come for me to weed out all that is not good, for it will not be allowed in the kingdom. Now is the time to not point a finger, but to pray to the Lord of the harvest. This is Matthew 9. This is the time to reach out to people, to get them to embrace the Lord as the Lord leads us. This is Matthew 9:37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. So when you see these nasty swamp creatures saying stuff on social media or whatever, stop and say, Lord of the harvest, would you send a worker across their path that they might have an opportunity to know you, instead of saying, oh, I can't stand them. And I, you know, try to make a concentrated effort to not let their reptilian appearance repulse you, but to speak something, because where they're going is a horrible place. Time to remit sin. Break off the darkness and command the light to come. Not the time to curse and condemn. You're the only hope of those who are lost. Commission-minded is where the church needs to be. Speaking to mountains, breaking strongholds off of people, places, and things in Jesus' name. This is what we need to be doing. Our mission is a rescue mission. Not a mission of condemnation, but to rescue people, to occupy till he comes. Change rules, regulations, and laws when necessary. To have the opportunity to pray the prayer of salvation for somebody. To try to bring people to the light. That's what we need to be doing as the church. Okay, this is what the Lord's going to do. This is what he is going to begin to do. I don't know. Like I said, if it's one day, it's one day. I don't know. But that's where I believe we sit. This is Matthew 13, the first passage. 13:24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? See, what God made was good. But what the devil did, he came in and sowed the tares. And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay. See, we're not the ones to go and fight. It's not our job to take out the deep state. It's our job to change rules, regulations, and laws to get this earth in order where it is his kingdom come, his will be done in earth. See, we're to get what we see that's not right back in order. Because we're going to give an account. Do you know that? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together. We're not here to fight in the respect that we're to take out somebody else. We're here to change the landscape. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. That's what he's doing. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable he spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have not been kept, that which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. See, the Lord's letting us have insight on things. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. And it shall be cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is what's coming down. Okay, Matthew 24. Verse 36. But of that day and hour, no man know, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So I believe there's a lot of church people that are going to be absolutely shocked. Well, we didn't see the temple built. We didn't see, you know, the Antichrist step up in the temple. We didn't see the two witnesses on the streets in Jerusalem. We didn't see this and we didn't see that. We need to be watching. Okay, we continue here. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think that the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. We need to be about his business. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in my heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a scary thought, isn't it? We don't need to get into all the hubbub that's going on. We need to be about the Master's business, changing things, using our faith, taking our stand. And as the Lord leads us across people's paths, if we can't directly pray for them, we can't speak somebody across their path. Okay, 25:31. Get a drink. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I wasn't hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Okay, now let's go to Revelation 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like this unto a son of man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in the sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. So it's describing the Battle of Armageddon right there. But from heaven's viewpoint, the angel was taking the vine of the earth and putting it in the winepress of God. It's one thing about Revelation, there's usually an earthly perspective and a heavenly perspective from these events. Okay, one more passage of Scripture and we'll be done. This is James chapter 5. Get one more drink. I believe James chapter 5 is where we need to sit. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Is this where we're sitting? Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which of it is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord's Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and ye have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any sick among you or afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and he that hath committed sins, they shall not be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Effectual for prayer, righteous man availeth much. See, this is an attitude because of the days we're in. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he hath converted the he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So we need to be aware of the day we live in. We need to stand in faith and stay in faith, and be about the Master's business.